Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about a subject today that I think is something that we don't maybe give too much attention to, but when our lives come into the opportunity of dealing with water, swimming, having an experience the same, and there are so many of us that are terrified of it. They really are. I just absolutely loved it when I was a kid. But our guest today, Melon Dash, she is going to talk to us about how to conquer your fear of water. It's an innovative self-discovery course in swimming. Melon, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna. It's great to be here.
Now, you have been involved with teaching people of all ages about swimming since 1983, but you deal with some issues that a lot of, let's say, swimming instructors might not even consider, and that's panic in water.
Right.
You just have encountered so many variables with people, and as I was going through your material in your book, I thought, gee whiz, and when I was growing up, it was the old adage, sink or swim.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember being tossed into a pool by a Marine sergeant. Of course, I was being a little stinker. I think I was 5 years old. And I loved to talk, if you couldn't tell that. That's why I do so well in what I do, because I still love to talk. But he picked me up, and he just said, I won't tolerate it, and he warned me. And then he threw me up in the air, and, of course, I did a belly flop in the water. Well, I can remember going through feelings of apprehension, but the first time he took me underwater, and he did this with all the children, we'd get on his back, and then he'd take us underwater, and it was the most thrilling thing I'd ever had in my life. I just loved it. And after that, I was a consummate swimmer. But this isn't something that most people would have come out of, necessarily, that being treated that way in the water, as I was, tossed and then, you know, falling back into it with a belly flop. You've encountered many, many people who have had major problems with this.
Yes. And an awful lot of them started their problems with it when they were tossed into the water by a Marine sergeant who said, sink or swim.
So there was more than one of those out there.
Yeah, that's one of the common ways. And it works for some people, and the other ones are looking for our classes here.
Mm-hmm. Now, you obviously loved water. Tell
Yes.
us how you developed such a love for it. I mean, I was in Florida last week on a business trip, and my goodness, everybody just seems to love to be in the water. They're in the pool. You know, there's just, it's just the environment for it. But there are a heck of a lot of people out there that don't feel that way. So how did you develop your love affair with water?
I think I might have been born with it. I have pictures of, or my mother has pictures of me running and dropping my clothes in the living room as soon as I heard the bathtub running, and I would stand with glee on my face waiting to get into the tub. So there was something really early on that connected me with it, and I wouldn't be surprised if just about every single person has that connection. But they lose it somewhere along the line. If something happens to them when they're being bathed as a child, or something happens to them in swimming lessons, or if their parents are afraid in water, these are all things that really put the fear of water into people. And once it's there, it takes some real knowing how to deal with it to change it into confidence and being a swimmer.
Now, here you are, this little girl that absolutely loves water, loves to take a bath, which I can just imagine every parent in the world saying, gee whiz, I'd love to have a kid like that, because most of them go just the opposite direction. It has nothing whatsoever to do with swimming. But
yeah.
In all seriousness, why did you become concerned? Here you had a love of water. Why did you feel that this was going to be something you wanted to dedicate your life to?
Well, that's a great question. When I was 21 or 22, I was a graduate teaching assistant at Keene State College in New Hampshire, and I was in charge of teaching the beginning swimming classes. And I remember standing on the deck with a group of 20 undergraduates, no less than 20, and I was teaching them beginning swimming. And I was telling them to go across the pool with a flutter kick, and then I noticed that half of the students weren't going across the pool. They were hanging onto the edge, looking at me as though to say, why are you trying to teach me what to do with my legs and my arms when I'm afraid I might die? I might not be able to stand up in the middle. I might not get to the other side. I might run out of breath. I might sink. They weren't saying those things with words, but they were looking at me quizzically or in a confused way, and I thought, wait a minute. I am teaching beginning swimming, but I see that these people are not ready to learn this. There is something that has to come before beginning swimming. And if I learned how to swim, they can learn how to swim. It's just that I'm not teaching with my credentials here, and even though I'm teaching the American Red Cross beginning swimming, I'm not teaching what these people need to know. Not only am I not teaching it, I wasn't trained to teach anything different.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that there was something that came before beginning swimming, and that beginning swimming classes across the board assume that people are comfortable in the water and that they can just hear instructions about what to do with your arms and legs and breath. But this is not true, I found. The people who were afraid did not feel in control in the water, and they needed to know how the water works, how to stay in control, how to look dignified and not make fools of themselves. And these things have to be taken care of before someone can learn swimming mechanics.
The term being afraid was frequently used by people that you interacted with, and you realized very quickly that there were fears. Maybe there was just one fear of water. But actually, you realized there was a lot more behind it. Now, you couldn't take the time to play psychologist for 24 hours, so you had to come up with a method of being able to get to the core of what was causing people so much concern.
Yeah.
And in your book, right off the bat, you say, if you're uncomfortable in water, you're afraid of something. Now, when
right.
we're saying that, we're not talking about taking a shower. We're talking about being in a pool or maybe being at a beach where there's an ocean or something else. I can remember my father, and interestingly enough, this was in Florida, and this was back in the 40s from what I was told. He was in the Army at the time, and he had leave, and he and my mother went down to a beach, and I don't remember what part of Florida it was in, but it was just gorgeous. In fact, they had photos that I was shown of this beautiful white beach, and he happened to walk out on a pier that was there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some kind of a wave that came up, caused him to lose his balance. He fell off of the pier, and the pier wasn't real high, but he got caught in a riptide,
mm-hmm.
and he almost drowned.
Yeah.
My mother could not swim,
mm-hmm.
and there was nobody there to help him. Now,
right.
he survived it. But after that, he was just very much, no, I'm not going in the water, period. That
yeah.
was it, because
yeah.
he almost died.
Right.
So there is an experience that was in my family. Now, the interesting thing was, I was forced to learn how to swim. My brother never was, but I was.
Hmm.
And I thought that, you know, it's just interesting. And my mother never, ever learned how to swim.
Wow. Yep. That's a very common thing. I want to go back to something that you said about people being afraid in pools or in the ocean but not in the shower. It's very, very common for people to not put their faces in the water in the shower.
Really?
Yes. And people will back into the shower, or they'll take a shower facing the shower but keeping their head out and do the least that they can in terms of getting their face wet. When they wash their hair, they back into it and so forth. And this is a very common thing that people need to know they're not alone about and not be ashamed of because it's so, so common. And everyone has a good reason for being afraid if they are afraid, whether it's putting their face in the shower or jumping into the deep end of a pool or even letting go of the side in the shallow water. It didn't come from nowhere. It came from something that happened. And just like any other fear, whether people are afraid of driving over bridges or afraid of telling the truth to their boss when they, you know, took stationery out of the closet or whatever it is, you know, any fear that people have causes the same reactions in a person's body and causes the same things to happen. And being afraid in the water is no different and has an explanation. And there's always, there's a way out, just like there's a way out of every other fear.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, sure. I was going to say, one of the contributions we feel very strongly about that Miracle Swimming Institute has made is we have developed a list of steps that people can take to overcome any fear. Our venue, our message to the world comes through swimming and learning how to overcome fear of water. But the steps that you take to overcome your fear of water are the same steps you would take to overcome fear of anything. And they're universal steps because to gain a fear, the same thing happened no matter what the fear is. The same steps happen for each person for any fear. And it's the same steps that need to be taken for any person to overcome any fear.
I want to share a story that you have in your book, and you don't have a person's name with it. It's anonymous. But this individual said to you, "My fear of water began years ago when, as a child, a well-intentioned but uninformed swim teacher pushed me into the deep end of the pool, thinking this would get me to swim.
Yeah.
Needless to say, he was mistaken. I went on to become an adult who loved water, but never fully enjoyed being in water because I was always nervous and afraid. I've
yes.
tried other classes since then, but it seemed as though I could never get the breathing. My arms and legs refused to work together, and the panic in my belly just would not go away. Plus, the teacher usually wanted me to do things that I didn't feel ready to do. It was awful. And they said when they got involved in your swimming classes, that it taught this person to know when to take their time, going as slowly as they needed to in order to feel safe and comfortable.
Yeah.
And they learned because
yeah.
of that. So let's talk about someone coming into your class, someone coming to you, and of course in your book you go into a lot of this detail of how to conquer the fear of water.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been too many portrayals in movies, Hollywood style, and just not an understanding. The water, it's so fluid, and you made a comment right at the beginning that you have to understand water.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people that get in pools or go in to swim, and their bodies are like lead weight. They just go down. They don't float. And they
their feet go down, perhaps, but their whole bodies don't go down. They don't end up lying down on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
They would lots of times people will lie back on a float, let's say, whether it's a front float or a back float, and they kick their feet up trying to go into a horizontal float, thinking this is the correct way to float. And then what happens is they feel their feet starting to go down because it turns out their legs are more dense than the water is, and their feet don't float. Their upper bodies float, but their feet and legs don't float if they're runners or, you know, they weight train and they've got more muscle in their legs than in the rest of their body. And so when they feel their legs start to go down, they think, oh, my gosh, it's just a matter of time before my face goes under too. I must be thinking I've got to get up.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes this response of, I'm not safe, I've got to hurry. And part of the problem is that everybody thinks they're supposed to be horizontal when they float. And everybody thinks they're supposed to kick their feet up to be horizontal when they lie back. And this isn't true. And part of the message I have is, let's make sure that all swimming instructors give the right idea of what these different skills are supposed to look like. And there's a lot of personal variation. People do it differently, and they're all of it's correct.
Now, you say there are 11 fronts of freedom in water.
Yes.
You say presence, control, and internal speed is one. Your
mm-hmm.
face on your front, on your back. Spirituality of learning, which I thought was an interesting perspective. Fun, propulsion, breath. Being vertical, which you just mentioned, water entries, and deep water. Pick a couple of those items to discuss them with my listeners.
Okay. I would say the most important one, there are two really important ones, fun, which I actually have combined with the spirituality of learning, and presence, control, and internal speed. You know, when you and I are afraid of something, our hearts start racing faster and our vibration increases inside. And when we start to vibrate really fast, we are not completely here. We're starting to leave. If you can imagine, you know, using the vernacular that someone is either here or they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are nervous like that and we start to leave, we're not as connected to our bodies and we can't hear the messages our bodies are giving us to tell us the things we need to do to be safe. For instance, in the water, if you are not really comfortable letting the water hold you up in the shallow water and you want to learn how to float, if you go into a front float holding onto the wall so you're not, you know that you're not going to drift away, you know you're not going to sink, you're holding on, and you let yourself down into the water to see what the water does with your body, you'll find that the water supports you.
Mm-hmm.
It supports each person a different amount depending on their body composition, but it supports everyone. Now, yes, there are a couple people, really a very low percentage, who would not be supported by the water, very few. And the listeners who are out there all saying, yeah, I'm one of those, you're probably not. But those people aside, if you let the water hold you, you'll find that the water holds you up. You may be somebody who floats horizontally. You may be someone who floats diagonally with your feet on the bottom. But wherever you float, you'll find the water doing the work for you. Now, if you were to let go of the wall to see it's not really, it's not your hands holding you up, it really is the water, that's a time when people start to speed up. You know, inside they go, oh my gosh, what if I drift away? What if I sink? What if I can't get a breath when I need one? And all these things. That is your presence going away. That's your internal speed speeding up. And it's your control starting to be lost. And those three things are what we need to become really aware of in the water and learn how to control, learn how to feel ourselves start to leave, feel ourselves start to speed up inside, and not do anything that makes us speed up. So we can practice things that make us feel safe and secure, and that's what makes us overcome fear in water.
That brings to mind a story that someone shared with me about their dad. They lived on one of the Hawaiian islands, and they were just a little person, and the dad would go down to the beach every day. It was a very much part of their culture and their life.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really apprehensive about the water, but everybody in the family was in the water, and people would have a good time.
Yes.
But his dad didn't take him into the ocean. His dad took him to little pools by the side, so he could learn about the little creatures that were in the sand and in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And he said his dad did that with him for a good deal of time, and then one day just let him go out, and he stayed with him so that the water would touch his feet, the ocean water, and just little by little introduced him. And then he started saying, Daddy, I want to go out. You know, I want to go out more. And he said, no, we're going to do it in our own time.
Mm-hmm.
He became very enthusiastic, but he said his father did it very gently, introduced
yes.
him to the water, and taught him that the water was his friend. He educated
mm-hmm.
him.
Yes.
And when he looked back on that as an adult, the way his father cultivated this, and he did this with his own children, and
mm-hmm.
he said what happened is that they, his children, just like himself, they were very comfortable with the water. They weren't afraid of it. And he said when the time came for him to walk into the ocean, it was just as comfortable as breathing. He didn't give it a second thought.
Yes, good.
So
beautiful.
I just wanted to share that with you because I think it is something that maybe some of the people listening, if they have children, they want to learn to swim.
Yes.
I think that's very important, knowing how to swim.
Oh, yes.
It's very important. But we don't have to try to be like the National Guard where they put you in ice buckets.
Right.
To learn for survival purposes. That's not the game. Because you bring out, to learn how to swim, you should do it in a warm pool.
Yes, comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs to be comfortable when they're learning. Because if you're distracted by how cold it is, it's just really hard to focus on feeling the water hold you up, or how long you can hold your breath, or what your arms and legs are doing, especially for little kids, and their lips are turning blue. And for adults, it's even harder to get past those distractions. We have enough things going on in our minds and in our lives to justify putting up with a cold pool while we're trying to learn to swim.
You have in here a contract.
Yes.
And I thought, that's unusual. I've not heard of anyone doing a contract for themselves or with themselves, that's really the better way to say it, to combat fear of water.
Yes.
Tell us how that came about and why you decided to put that in the book.
Well, when people come into class, they often have the idea that they're going to have to push through their fear, they're going to have to do things that I ask them to do, even if they don't want to do them, that they're going to have to grin and bear it to get to the other end of swimming lessons and learn to swim. And I want to have a very clear understanding with them from the get-go, and that is the reason this works 100% of the time and that we've been doing this for 25 years as a successful business is that we don't want you to do something you don't want to do. We want you to regain your trust in yourself. We want you to agree to not push yourself, to only do things that are fun, to ask your questions, to say no thank you if something sounds too hard or doesn't sound fun, to ask for an intermediate step if one step sounds too advanced, to take time to rest and absorb the things you just realized or learned. So we ask people in this contract to just, let's make it formal. Let's list all the things that as an instructor or as a swimming school we're hoping that you'll do. And would you agree to these things? And people are so relieved to see the items in that list and say, you're kidding. I don't have to push myself and drive myself crazy and leave here with white knuckles and, you know, wishing that I didn't have five more swimming lessons. I can actually do it this way. And when you say, yes, this is why it works, we want you to be comfortable all the time. Being comfortable is what being fully present means. It's what having your internal speed be calm means. It's what the spirituality of learning, meaning fun, means. In other words, if you're going to have fun, that's the only way for you to be completely here as spirit in your body. If you're having fun, you're all here. If you're nervous or you're panicked or scared, you're not all here. You're half gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no way to learn.
Well, you have some wonderful photographs in your book about people that gained the confidence of doing handstands on the bottom of the pool and doing spins in the pool, all kinds of things. You know, when we think of Michael, the Olympic champion who won so many medals,
yes,
we just look at him and say, oh, my goodness, he was born to be a swimmer. And I think that's true because physiologically he's just absolutely phenomenal.
Yes.
And he is a champion. However, to really become a good swimmer, it does take practice. But you can have fun, and that's the whole message behind your book, and you address so many different areas, including pool etiquette, which is something I found interesting to read. What is pool etiquette? I would say, you know, what was it? Not peeing in the pool? That's rule number one.
Yeah, that is rule number one. That's definitely rule number one. Pool etiquette is things like when you go to a pool, you know you're going to want to have a place to practice on your own or by yourself and not be disturbed by a bunch of other people, but you know you don't own the pool, so you kind of have to go in there and scope out the situation. Pick a time when there aren't a zillion kids jumping in and screaming and it's not family time or something like that. Perhaps pick a lap swimming time for adults, and during lap swimming periods, often there's a water walking lane. And when you go in, you just agree with the other people who are sharing the lane with you about what they're going to do and what you're going to do so that everybody can do what they want to do uninterrupted.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing about pool etiquette, making sure that you're not getting in other people's way, but at the same time making sure that they know that you're here for something. You have every bit as much right to practice what you want to practice as they do, and communicate with them so you've got an agreement and everyone can be happy.
you make a comment that if you're going to go to the Y or a gym that's in the area that has a pool, sometimes there are communities, the school has a pool that is open to the public for a small fee.
Yes.
You recommend highly picking off time, if that's at all possible.
Yes.
Because when there are kids being trained and being taught, I know we have a big, huge facility in Federal Way, Washington,
yes,
where a lot of people are being trained,
yes,
to go into the Olympics. So
right,
there are those hours, and it is just pandemonium and noise like you wouldn't believe, because you got all of these young people in the pool, and they're being coached, and there's all of this activity.
Yes.
But there are going to be a lot of hours when that pool is not used. And that's what you want to be as an adult, I would think, or maybe even a younger person that just feels overwhelmed by this. This is a much calmer environment, and you just feel like you've got some space.
Yes. Well, that's part of the idea of being comfortable, not being in a place where it's really loud or there's so much distraction that you can't focus on your own feelings or on the messages your body is giving you. So Federal Way may have times when the pool is quiet, and it might not. It's such a fabulous swimming facility and so used for competitive programs that, and I don't know myself, it might not be the best pool to learn or practice in. And I also would like to make a distinction between that swimming and the kind of swimming that we're talking about, learning to swim. There are two parts of swimming. There's comfort in the water and oneness with the water. That's one. And the other thing is strokes. And when people are learning to swim, they shouldn't imagine themselves going to learn strokes right off the bat. That comes after comfort in the water. So when you go to take swimming lessons, the first thing you need to be and learn is how to be yourself in the water, how to be one with the water, how to be completely at ease, be able to be in every kind of position, know that you're not going to get water in your nose, know that you can get air whenever you want it. Those things come before learning strokes. Once you're one with the water, then you have some attention to spare that's not being taken up by survival concerns. You have some attention to spare for, okay, now what am I supposed to do with my legs to propel me? Or what are my hands supposed to do when they come through the water? First, comfort, then strokes.
Well, I can tell you, swimming is one of the most relaxing, soothing experiences that you can have. There's nothing like being in the water, floating, and then if you could do a backstroke or even the breaststroke, just to be able to glide through the water. It is, as far as I'm concerned, ethereal, and it is so relaxing. If you have a high-stress day, getting in a pool, doing a lap or two, boy, that works the kinks out. It is one of the greatest activities. If people have joint problems, they have, maybe they are concerned, they're heavy, they don't want to do certain exercises because it's going to cause impact, or maybe they've had some kind of physical disability. If you can swim, the water is so liberating. It is just absolutely marvelous. So I think your book is so well done, and for anybody that has someone that's concerned about water, and if you want to be maybe involved, if you've got a little one in the family and you say, I want to do this too, I'm a little bit scared of water, so this is a good time for me to do it with, you know, the members of the family.
Yes.
I think that's terrific. Now, Melon, what's your website that people can go to?
Our website is conquerfear.com, conquerfear.com.
Conquerfear.com, and of course, they can go there, they can find out about the book, and the book is, you know, on Amazon, and when you learn how to swim, who knows, maybe you would like to become an instructor yourself.
Sure.
And maybe you won't be afraid to go out in a boat with friends.
Right.
Maybe somebody's invited you to go out boating, and you say, I can't swim, I'm not going to go out on the boat if I don't know how to swim, if the boat should blow up like in a James Bond movie, or, you know, shark
right,
comes along, Jaws.
Mm-hmm. That keeps a lot of people out of the ocean still.
It sure does. It sure does. I mean,
and
that movie
didn't.
Did a lot to damage the love of water. But, Melon, this has been absolutely a delight. It's Melon Dash, M-E-L-O-N, her first name, Dash, D-A-S-H, conquer your fear of water. This is an innovative self-discovery course in swimming in the written form. And it's got illustrations, photographs, lots of good stories in here. And I just think it's a good publication. Thank you, Melon, for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Donna.
It's been a pleasure. Donna Siebel. Don't forget our website, conquerfear.com. You can always check it out there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, well, I've got good things to share with you. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Well, telephone lines are now open, and if you would like to give me a buzz and would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do that. Here are the telephone numbers you can call in to, toll-free, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Those are our toll-free numbers. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. So all of those telephone lines are open right now. If you'd like to have me give you an intuitive bit of insight, I love to do it. I'm an information resource, and that's all you have to do is give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. Boy, is it good to be home, but I have to laugh because in Tampa, which is where I was, that's where the broadcasts were coming from last week when I was there, it was pouring when I was driven to the airport yesterday evening. And I had like a 24-hour period where there was almost no sleep because I had to stay over at the airport because of the way the flights were configured. You know, a lot of the airlines have cut back on their flights. So coming back to Seattle via the airline that I was using, they have an early morning flight and a very, very late flight. So here I am And we're going into the airport. The rain is coming down. It's just like sheets of water, because that's the way it happens in Florida. And then we get there, and it's going on and on. Eventually it dries up, but while you're going in, you swear everything's going to be underwater in 3 minutes, because it is very sandy. It's like a spongy texture of earth in Florida. And then as soon as the rain stops, all of a sudden it's gone. And you wonder what happened to it. Well, it just goes down. It just goes right through the structure of the soil, the sand. So it doesn't stay there for very long, but when you're driving in it, you swear you're going to drown before you get up to a little bit of a higher level. And then I come home, and it's just pouring here in the Pacific Northwest. So it's like Donna brought home the little cloud that cried or something. But these are big clouds that are crying. But I guess while I was gone, there was a lot of storm that was hitting the Pacific Northwest, because, boy, was their front yard a real mess. But it feels good to be home. Fall is in the air, and it's just a delight. I do have to tell you, I had a very special experience while I was in Florida. I had heard some people talking about the manatees. Now, I've seen manatees in films, but I've never seen them like in a zoo or anything like that. So I went out to this pier area that was not very far from the resort that I was staying at. And there was a mama pop, of course, these are human terms, of course, a mama manatee, a papa manatee, and a baby manatee. And they would come up out of the water, and they're huge creatures. They're really, really large. But they will come up out of the water, and they just bring their heads out, and you'll see their noses. Well, I really got a treat, because I think it was Papa Manatee, because he was massive. I think it was a male. I didn't give him a bunny test. I can't swear to it. But he came up out of the water and sort of came just up the way seals do. He didn't leap out. He just sort of came up to the surface, and he rolled. And if you've done any reading about the manatees, you know how so many of them have been severely injured and many of them killed because of boaters speeding through waters and then the propellers of the boat engine cutting them and slicing them. And as this big manatee came out of the water, you could see the scars on him, where apparently he had been injured. When I went back to the resort and I was telling some people about this, I said, this was just absolutely amazing. And they seemed to be enjoying the people that were standing along the pier watching them. So it was like a mutual admiration society, the manatees watching the humans and the humans watching the manatees. But I really felt very privileged to be able to see it. And then another guest, they had a teenage daughter, and she had managed to get some photos of them as they came up out of the water. But apparently now that in Florida there are areas where the manatees live, and they're no longer allowing boaters to go through the waters because these are very, very gentle creatures. They are massive in size, and they eat nothing but plants. So they're just slow-moving, and they're just really taking care to protect them now. But beautiful, beautiful creatures. You'll see all kinds of birds and just little lizards that are out, just like in Hawaii, like the little geckos. And I don't know if that's what they call them in Florida, but in Hawaii you have the little geckos that get into your house. And sometimes when you're first exposed to them, you go, oh, good grief, do I really want this little critter running all over the place? But in Hawaii, you want the geckos because they get a lot of the bugs. And trust me, in Florida, you want those little lizards crawling around, too, because they get the bugs. Donna Sebo here. I have got a real simple shrimp scampi with linguine. How does that sound? Well, there is a recipe by Tyler Florence that I think is really super neat. And if you like a light meal but something that's very flavorful, I'm going to share this recipe with you. So you'll want to have a pad of paper and a pen. So while you're getting that, I'm going to share a story with you. Don't forget, if you want to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, call me at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756, and I'll be glad to give you a reading over the air. Oh, and I didn't want to forget, I'm going to be attending the Wisdom Festival in San Francisco. It's coming up in 2 weeks. I can hardly believe it. It's going to be October 17th and 18th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. And this is an all-day event. It's only done once a year at Fort Mason in San Francisco, which is a beautiful, beautiful site. And San Francisco, of course, is such a dynamic city. There's so much going on. You always have something you can do. Well, why don't you come on out and come visit us? We're going to have just so many people coming in from all over the country talking about all kinds of subjects, paranormal, science, just you name it, just about anything is going to be up for grabs. And I'll have a booth there. There's a lot of other people that are going to be talking about their products, their services, and it's just a great place to bring the family. There's just a lot of fun things going on. There are going to be classes. There are going to be different kinds of programs. I'll be speaking there. So why don't you go check it out? If you're in Southern or in Northern California, if you're in Southern California, just hop on a plane or have a nice drive up. It's just a beautiful place to go see. And come on up and interact in this wonderful event. Remember, we had a couple of the upcoming speakers on last week, so it was on Friday. So just know we've got all kinds of subject matter that I think you'll find it fascinating and interesting. But you can get your tickets at discount if you go on the web. Go to wisdomfestival.com. That's wisdomfestival.com. Of course, you can always be in touch with me if you like. Now, I know we've got a caller. I know we've got a caller, and I'm going to go to that caller in just a moment. Quick like a bunny, if you've not gotten a response to an email, it's because I've been on the road. I did not have access to a computer. So I will be getting to those emails and getting back to you shortly. Let's go to our first caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. My name is Nancy, and I'm calling from New York.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi there.
Are the leaves turning in New York? And are you in Manhattan? Where are you?
Yes, I'm in Manhattan.
All right. Well, let's get busy with you. Now, the first thing I'm looking at, Nancy, there are some legal documents that you are going to need to bring up to current need, whatever it may be. I don't know if these are insurance papers, if it's a will. I have no idea. All I know is that something needs to be upgraded.
Okay, something... so I should update my legal documents.
Okay. Whatever it is, it needs to be done sooner rather than later. Don't procrastinate on this, and I'll tell
you
why.
Could you mean something like my portfolio, stocks, and those kinds of things? Or...
well, I would just say, just think about what I'm saying, and let me tell you why it's important for you to do it.
Okay.
It's important for you to get these things in order because you're going to have so much on your plate of activity starting the 13th of November that is going to keep you just moving almost every day. This seems to go on, this patterning of activity seems to go on until the 2nd of February.
Right.
So you have got so much happening that whatever paperwork, whether it's taxes, whether it has to do with a stock portfolio, I don't care, whatever it is, take care of it sooner. Don't wait on it. Take care of it sooner because you've got so many things that you are going to be in charge of, responsible for, that if you do not do it, then you're going to be very upset with yourself. You're going to create an agitation you don't need.
Right.
And you're also going to feel like you have not come up to the mark of responsibility as you should. And so there may be some kind of a penalty or something that irritates you deeply. Whereas if you get it done, just take care of it.
Right.
Then it's out of the way. Then you don't have to sweat anything at all.
Okay.
And you'll be fine. Now, these headaches that you're getting every once in a while, they come right up between the eyebrow, go up into the hairline. Then I'm feeling the pressure in the temples. But this is a sensitivity where you could touch certain spots on the top of your head and they hurt. This is coming from your neck and shoulders.
Okay.
And you need to be aware of exercises like shoulder rolls or maybe just rotating your head gently, you know, in a circular patterning, going maybe five times in one direction and five times in another direction. But you need to loosen up here. And I think part of it is because you're working on a computer.
Right.
And it's poor posture. And you're just, you're so engrossed in what you do that if you all of a sudden think, how am I sitting? Where are my shoulders? How does my neck feel? You'll realize that you've created a twist of tight.
You're so right.
So consciously say, wait a minute, I can still do the work, but I've got to do something with my posture, and I have to limber up some muscles. If you had a good masseuse, by the time they'd work these knots out of your neck, you'd feel like you need a relaxant because you're just aching from the stress that has been released out of the muscles. The muscles feel bruised.
Right.
So try to remember to consciously check yourself every once in a while. And if you need a new pair of glasses when you're working on the computer, hun, get them. We're going to go on a break. Nancy, would you stay on the line with me?
Sure.
All right. We're going to come back, talk with Nancy. If you'd like to call in to me, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And don't forget, we got that recipe for some shrimp linguine. Good stuff. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Before I go back to Nancy in Manhattan in New York, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. And don't forget that pad of paper and pen, because I got this recipe for shrimp linguine. Good stuff. Nancy, what's your question for me today?
Well, you know, how about, do you see any big changes coming my way?
Well, be more specific, dear.
Do you see me leaving the city?
Not right away. For you to leave Manhattan on a permanent move, if that's what you're asking me.
Yes.
It will have to be a real special place.
Right.
Manhattan is so... There's a lot of things about Manhattan that drive you nuts. But the
right.
truth is you love the energy of the creative aspect of Manhattan. You love the museums. You love the educational opportunities. There's so much there. You eventually will move, but only when you know that location that is going to offer you the opportunity to be involved with the arts, et cetera, as you really want to do.
Mm-hmm. Could I ask you one more quick question?
Quick like a bunny.
Okay. I heard that spaceships are supposed to be showing themselves in the very close this month.
What is supposed to be showing itself?
The spacecraft.
Oh, they've been around for a long time, hon.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but what I heard was that they're going to be showing themselves to mainstream.
Well, I always get a kick out of that when people say that, because it's actually been seen by mainstream many, many times. I don't think we're going to have it like it's been portrayed in the Hollywood movies, where a spacecraft is going to stop right in downtown Manhattan and say, hi, how are you? You know, I'm Bongo Bongo from Venus. This is not going to work out that way.
Oh, shucks.
I know. Isn't that disappointing?
It
but somebody
so
in Hollywood will come up with an idea, and they'll do that, and people go, woo!
At least get televised or something, you know?
would say, in don't get too caught up with it. And mm-hmm. it's not that I don't believe that there is life on in other areas of the universe. I think for anybody to think that we're the only thing out there is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But what we have to deal with is where we are. So, but it is always fascinating. It's just an absolutely wonderful topic, and the research on it, the records and information regarding this. One day I think there's going to be more communication, open communication, than there has been. And of course, the internet has given a lot of that today.
Right, right.
So,
I've got to have my own personal experience.
Ah.
Yeah.
And what was your experience?
Well, I said I would, well, how can I put this? Well, I have seen some pretty close,
mm-hmm.
but that hasn't been for quite a while now. So I was terrified, and now I'm like sort of looking for an adventure. You know, like, hey, that wasn't so scary. Let's do it again, except nothing's happening.
Well, don't get too anxious. Let me share a cute story with you. And this is a true story, by the way.
Okay.
When I was beginning to develop my own psychic abilities, I had the good fortune to be associated with a spiritualist church in Gardena. Mm-hmm. And Reverend Humble, who was in charge there, when he was teaching a class this one evening, one of the students said, oh, I'd love to see a ghost. I'd love to see it. And he had the nicest eyes, and they just twinkle like Santa Claus eyes.
Right.
And they were twinkling like crazy, and he said, well, I'd be a little thoughtful when you're asking, because what you were asking for, you might get. But let me tell you what happened to someone that I know. There was this young lady that he knew that had, whenever she attended his classes, always said, I want to see a spirit. I want to see a ghost. I just have to do this. So he said, well, when it's the right time, it'll happen. Don't worry about it. It'll happen. Well, as it turned out, one evening after she had gone to bed, she was awakened, and she saw her cat that had been with her, my goodness, for years and years and years, and she and this cat had a very strong bond. And she said, I'm awakened, and there's this cat of mine looking at something. And I couldn't figure out. This cat would not move. It was just looking. And then in front of me, there appeared this woman. And this woman and my cat were communicating telepathically.
Wow.
And she said, I'm there in bed, and I couldn't move. Now, there's a little bit of a sad note that in that her cat passed away the next day.
Really?
And she said, I really felt like this was an angel, if you will, that was communicating with my cat. But she said, I didn't realize it was a ghost.
Wow, I've never heard anything quite like that.
She said it scared her to death afterwards when she thought about it.
Whoa.
That she had had this experience, and so she went back to Reverend Humble, and she said, I don't think I want to see another ghost. But he told her, he said, it wasn't something that she needed to be afraid of, because he explained to her what was going on, and she said, I understand that, but after I thought about it, I went, oh my goodness, oh my, you know, and then she started getting anxious. And it's very important to know that we have experiences, we enjoy them, and then we need to educate ourselves as much as we can, but not from a point of fear.
Right.
Not from a point of fear.
Well, I've had quite a few, and they were always from a point of fear.
Mm-hmm.
But after... You know, but now that it's been such a quiet period, I'm thinking, gee, I probably handle it so much better, but nothing's happening.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If it happens again, then you'll know what to do, perhaps.
Right. Okay. Well,
all right,
thank
hon.
You so much, Don. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So delightful to have you call in. Have a great day.
Thank you. Take care.
You know, that recipe for shrimp linguine is going to have to wait until tomorrow because we're just about out of time. Well, the rain's falling here in the Pacific Northwest, but hey, here at bbsradio.com, we're not going to miss anything. Why? Because we're going to be back here same time, same place. And our guest tomorrow is going to be Mary Ann Radmacher, Live boldly. Yes, this is good. You're going to learn how to live boldly. She's a delightful woman, has some wonderful things to share. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. So good to be home, back in home studio again. And we'll be back with you tomorrow, right here, same time, same place, on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.